Okay, we're on record now. So I generally, what I like to do is start these calls with a with your agenda first, meaning that we discuss anything that's on your mind about any of the materials, the program, or questions before I go into kind of the review of the first session. How's that sound to you so far?
Sounds good.
Okay. And everybody can hear me clearly, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we're into week one. Did you have an opportunity to look over the manual and the first video?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Good. Okay, so let's start with what questions or anything that you might have, first of all.
This is Russ. When we talked with you before, we definitely expressed our reservations about in describing our books of discarding everybody except for one model, just because our books are not fat at the top, I guess.
Right, not as robust as you'd like them to be at this point.
Right.
Okay, so the first thing that we're going to do before we start discarding anybody is to start getting familiar with organization, the terminology, butlers, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm not going to ask you to go through and wholesale getting rid of anyone because of the size of your book, number one. You don't have that pressure that some have. But once we start to implement the strategy, you're going to find out very, very quickly as we really get into client acquisition, the number of relationships that you can have. So don't agonize over that right now, okay? What else? Question-wise.
How much time do you think, you know, there was talk about the using the intern to create the folders, how much time do you think that's going to take per client? We're trying to kind of prepare for that.
Okay. Well, I looked at about the number of relationships that you have, and I think you're going to probably be preparing 50 folders each, thereabouts. And you're going to be assembling information in those folders. I kind of think that you might need 15 to 20 hours worth of work for that, because once the material is copied, it's just really a matter of inserting it. And it also is a matter of how much or how involved you all want to get in the assembly of the folders. I'd rather, for the most part,
20 hours total or for each of us?
I'm going to say probably 20 hours total to get that done. They probably can knock out, 20 of these things a day, with the information, but it just depends. You know, you're going to create it like an assembly line where they grab one piece of paper. They all come, you'll need a hole punch, Supernova. You can order all that from them, and they have really, you know, good pricing on that stuff. So, you know, I think that's about the amount of time that you're going to need for the project.
Okay.
Okay. So, good question so far. Anything else?
I I guess what would be my main role in the whole deal?
Okay. So, and that's a good question, Corinne. What we want you to do is really get familiar with all of the information, with the process they go through, so that you're really simpatico with what they do. The traditional role of, some firms call them CSAs, some call them sales assistants, some administrative assistants. Usually that role is a top-down role in where the FAs are, at the top, and they kind of dictate what kind of goes on in the course of a day or a week. In Supernova, we kind of flip the pyramid, so to speak, where you are in control of the schedules. You become what's called the vice president of brand. So everything, if I were to paint an ideal picture, what would happen is I would come in as an observer and look at you, and Rod comes into the office, or Russ, and they have four or five folders on their desk. And inside each of the folders is an agenda for what they're going to discuss with the client. You are familiar with those folders. You're presenting them to them. They know the time and the schedule for those calls. After the call is completed, they're going to send out an executive summary of the call, what we discussed, what was agreed to, so on and so forth.
By email?
Yes, that's going to go out by email. And then a copy of it is going to go into the folder. And then you are going to note any calendar items inside the folder, what's going to be discussed, what was implemented, and then the folder goes back into the file. And your VP of brand is going to grab the folder, stick it in the file, and she's kind of in charge of managing the process. And so the same thing would happen on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday. Okay? And we'll get more into the role. You're going to be the keeper also of the scheduler and the calendar. So any vacations get scheduled, because we're going to begin to start to work as a team, even though we haven't created a total team agreement and put all of the team dynamics together. This is going to start to get you to function as a team, learning about team huddle sessions, so on and so forth. So we want you to function as a part of the whole process. Okay? And so there's going to be some sections in the manual, and I hope you have a copy of it as well, that are going to specifically pertain to you, especially when we get into the delegation of duties and responsibilities. Okay? So that's a thumbnail, just a thumbnail sketch. That makes sense, Corinne? Hey, Corinne, does that make sense? Does that resonate with you?
Thanks so much. I just didn't get a manual.
Okay. So the manual was copied to Russ, and I would appreciate if you all would just, email a copy to Corinne, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
You want a hard copy or a soft copy?
It should be in PDF file format. One of the things I did with my manual is I put it in a notebook, and I got 12 tabs and tabbed it out. You might want to consider doing that. It's very helpful when you want to go reference a chapter as opposed to thumbing through all the pages. So I got these plastic tabs. You can pick them up at Kinko's or, you know, a place like that. Okay. All right. Let's go through. I'm sure you're going to have some additional questions. So let's kind of go through and summarize the contents of the first week. So the first week is devoted to segmentation. Okay? And the purpose of this is if you have a lot of things that are tugging at you, that keep you from focusing and performing, we're trying to get you back to what you enjoy. We're trying to give the client the best experience. So in Supernova, there's no more A, B, C, or D books, okay? So in Supernova, what we do is we treat all the clients the same. And we give them a minimum service level. And that minimum service level is the concept of 12-4-2. And so let's talk about what that really means. It means that the clients are going to receive 12 contacts per year. Four of the 12 are going to be reviews. Two of those four are going to be in-person reviews. And the other two would be phone reviews. And then they get a plan, financial plan, and you also work on intergenerational planning. And you give them a rapid response to problems with a 24-hour resolution. And if you can't give them a 24-hour resolution, you want to state that up front, that I expect to have this done within 48 hours, whatever the time frame is that you expect to have the problem resolved. So that becomes part of your service model. This is very, very important because your client service experience is going to be part and parcel of how we begin to get to client acquisition, personal introductions, centers of influence, so on and so forth. So it's going to be very, very important that you are able to articulate that service model in a very dynamic way. So you want to say something to the extent that, look, you know, Mr. Jones, I really appreciate you meeting today. You know, the nature of our practice has evolved to accommodate our clients' service needs. In that regard, we have a model of service which involves 12 monthly contacts, four appointments, with two of the four appointments being in person, and kind of making sure that our clients have an overall plan and roadmap that is goal-based and that we're paying attention to that. We're going to get into how you handle objections. The client is going to think that every time you call, you're going to try to sell them something. And they're going to kind of back off because they think that that's what's going to occur on every call, although there will be calls where you're going to have to rebalance portfolios. You're going to have to institute a part of an agenda. It might be long-term care. It might be, portfolio allocation. It might be tax minimization strategies. But we're going to talk about how we create a 12 to 18-month agenda as we continue down the pike. So the service level is going to be very, very important. That's going to be your differentiator, okay? All right. Any questions on that so far?
No. It's funny, the stories that you hear, about people, implementing this and it either, saves a client or something like that. But I had a client who, met with a Morgan Stanley planner and, he sent me the document they gave him to show all the things that they touch on.
Right.
It was very much, you guys probably trained them, but it was all those areas that, and he said, I'm really interested in making sure we're connecting on all of these and covering them. So that was good confirmation that, the bigger clients want to make sure we're covering the bases.
Absolutely. And when you as a team start to formulate these monthly agendas in advance, what it says is that you're not leaving anything left for chance. And sometimes there will be things where the client is fine, but, we heard a story once where, a financial advisor was not keeping up with customer contact. He had a business owner client, sold a business for $5 million. Between the time of the customer contact and the next contact, another firm, Goldman, swooped in on the $5 million and invested the client's money. And so things happen that you may not be aware of in clients' lives. Babies, marriages, kids going off the car, all kinds of things happen. And so the monthly contact provides the rationale for that. So I'm glad that you, see that point. Okay. So now, getting down to the core. And this typically, and I saw with some of the information that you sent to me, Rod, is that this Pareto's rule where 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your clients is still pretty much alive and well. And so, just mentally, hang on to that number because we want to determine who your best clients really are. And so we have 9 screens in Supernova to determine the reasons for keeping clients. Now, as you slowly begin to develop more affluent relationships, you're going to want to use those screens. You want to be able to articulate them to your centers of influence and your referral sources so that they specifically introduce you to the kind of client that you want to work with, okay? So that's going to be important. So I think, did you read the section in the manual that dealt with the screens, the
yeah.
Typical screens we use? Okay. So
page 11 is where a summary is.
Yes. So that becomes a very critical part of what you do is to look at those screens. And we're going to come back to these client screens. So the next component was this minimum max model. Okay? So this is really important as the baseline because, see, you're going to learn some things now that you're going to end up really utilizing throughout kind of your career. So the absolute minimum is the real average of your practice. And so those are the number of relationships that you keep. So we highly recommend that if you're going to implement the 12-4-2 concept, that you can't have more than 100 relationships per team member. So the two of you would theoretically only have 200 relationships max. So then you might ask, well, what happens if we bring in 5 new households that are part of our target minimum? Then what we suggest is that 5 relationships at the bottom must leave because you will not have enough time to implement the 12-4-2 strategy, because the whole idea with the strategy is for client retention and client referrals. And if you can't give them the service, then you can't retain them, and you can't get the personal introductions and the referrals and thus grow your business. So that's kind of the philosophy behind it. Is that pretty clear?
It is clear, and it's a point of apprehension and anxiety for Bonnie and I. This is Russ.
Then you're normal. Then you're normal.
I wanted to clarify one thing.
So sure.
So I have 125, according to the computer. But the way I've done my relationships is I think of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and then I try to get their kids, and then I try to get their parents, and I try to get their CPA, and I have categorized that as one.
Right. That's one household.
Okay, so then that helps me understand my number and where I am a little better. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to talk about butlers in just a moment, okay? So we're looking at the absolute minimum of being about 100, okay? So now we go into the target minimum. That is the average of the top 20% of the 100 that we keep. So, for example, if you took the top 20%, you want that you would love to be able to get referrals from, what do you think the average productivity would be? Would their average be, so if you had 100, I'm going to say there'd be 20 people. What would be their average level of revenue that's generated or assets that they have? Would it be 500,000? Would it be $1 million? Would it be 750?
Did you say top 20 or?
Take 20% of the 100 that you're going to keep. What do you think the average assets are of that 20 households?
990,000.
Okay. Good number. All right. So now that becomes your target, okay? You can raise that a little bit, but you're not going to actively focus on bringing in relationships that don't have, for example, at least $1 million. Okay? So that becomes your new target. Now, right now you're saying to yourself, holy smokes.
How did you know?
I know people that can bring in $400,000 or $500,000 and they can be profitable. Okay? And you got to make a value judgment of taking on that relationship because they have the potential, the economic potential, their centers of influence, they meet a lot of the screens, and it makes sense for you to take them, okay? But your targeted focus is now going to be about $1 million. So if I say, what type of client do you feel comfortable working with? Then the response is going to be, I feel comfortable working with clients that have investable assets of $1 million or more. There are exceptions to my rule. So you are going to decide what those exceptions are. But if you continue to take on 250, 300, then you're never going to move and advance the practice because you'll spend too much time with the lower end of the book and not enough time with the affluent clients that can give you the referrals that you want. So that's kind of the dynamic and the principle around it. Okay? So this is what you, now periodically I'm going to come back and say, what's your target minimum and what's your absolute minimum number of relationships? Because again, we're also going for quality and we're going for quality time, time off, enjoying life. Okay? And we also want your VP of brand to work with your best relationships as well. So you're going to create this absolute minimum, and you're going to create your target. So your target is going to be $1 million, okay, let's say. And what's the absolute minimum that you're willing to accept? Okay.
Do you want us to answer that?
Yes. What are you thinking right now?
I guess I was thinking a lot of the people that I start with, they have big incomes, but they're just starting. And so my idea is you get planning revenue, you get insurance revenue, and you build the assets. And based on this, I would have to say, no thanks. You got to go somewhere else. So how would you categorize that kind of thing?
Okay. So what happens there is any smaller relationships that you have to give up or that you take on, what you do is you may filter some of those. Some firms have call centers. I'm going to assume that you all don't. So one of the things that might happen is you might end up referring the relationship to another financial advisor in the office that's minimum acceptables are a lot less and work on a split so that you can spend your time focusing on niche markets. Now, it's going to be hard to see some of this until we cover some of the other information in the modules. So I'm just going to ask you just to kind of be patient with this for a bit, okay?
Sure. Just as an aside, can we make our minimum, rather than a asset value, could we make it a revenue value instead?
Yeah, you can. You know, in other words, you know, if you took on a, you know, a $3 million relationship and all they wanted to do was buy U.S. Treasuries, well, you kind of know where that goes. So, you know, once you start to look at the screens and you determine revenue and you determine assets, you know, they're going to be kind of simpatico. Okay? All right. So what you want to do is not drive your practice toward relationships that are below the absolute minimum. You're going to be driving your practice toward relationships that are a higher number. And I will tell you this, what blows my mind is that those relationships with those higher numbers, they are out there in the marketplace needing competent advisors that provide this kind of differentiation, okay? They're there, especially in the market that you reside in. Okay, Butlers. Let's talk about Butlers. How are we doing on time so far?
Good.
Okay. So Butlers. A butler is, could be a child, could be an adult, relationship of a client, aunt, uncle, grandparent, but they don't have near the assets of your primary relationship, and your primary relationship wants you to kind of take care of them. And they may be the inheritors of this wealth at some point. So you want to begin to make sure that they're taken care of. So for every, and we call them butlers, and they receive a 4-1 service. They receive 4 contacts per year and 1 review. Okay? So 3 of these butlers equal 1 client that's getting your 1242 service. And this cannot exceed 20% of your business. Okay? So when you go through your client base and you see, you know, your total household relationships, the butlers receive the 4-1. So that's how that's defined. That makes sense? Okay. All right. So we have to do it this way to be able to free up your time once we start moving toward client acquisition. So now we only have 1 client segment. No more A, B, C, and D. Okay? Now the client screens. The client screens, you're going to look at a number of things. You're going to look at account by production. That's what you just recently, you know, mentioned. You're going to look at the value of the assets. Okay? So $3 million going into treasuries and they won't listen to you. They won't take any of your recommendations. That may not be a client that you select. Likeability. You know, have you ever had a client relationship? Maybe not. Phone rings and
hey, Curtis?
Or pick it up.
Curtis?
Yes.
Hey, to be honest, our internet dropped or something. We've been off for about 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay. All right.
Just back.
Okay, so we're back. Did you get the story on referral, on butlers?
No, you told us that 3 equals 1 and that a max of 20% can be in this category, and that's about where we dropped.
Okay, perfect. So then we went into the client screens. That's where I kind of started.
Okay.
So You raised the issue earlier, and it was a good question. So you're going to look at, you know, each relationship, account by production. You're going to look at the value of the assets. In other words, do they generate revenue? You're going to look at likability. Are these people that you like? You know, nobody likes that phone ringing and you know it's John Edwards on the other end of the line and you really don't want to talk to him. So you want likability. You want trust. You know, these are people who, you know, aren't trying to get over on you. They're honest people. The fifth screen was they accept your recommendations. You know, look, you've got a lot of training. You're an expert at what you do. And you're recommending things because they fit. So you want clients that accept your recommendations. The sixth is profitability. You know, because you're going to spend your time with these folks. You're going to desert the, you know, you're going to put a lot of effort into it. And so they have to be profitable. They can't just be the hangers around, but they never do any business with you. The seventh screen was there's an opportunity for future growth. And then the final screen is, you may keep some people because they are just outstanding centers of influence and referral sources. You know, they can give you access. They can refer business. So you might want to keep those. So maybe you have the CPA. He's got a growing business. He's not a big client, but he's an outstanding referral source. Okay. And then the final screen really is the rule of common sense. You got to make sometimes a value judgment on who you want to keep, okay? And so you reserve that right to make that determination. But these are the basic screens. And as you go forward and, you know, let's say next year you add 25 new household relationships, where's the time going to come from to service those relationships? Okay? All right. So the next item here is, you know, you're introducing your service model to clients. You're improving the quality of the client experience. And there may be some many objections to the service model. So I'm going to just ask you, look, why do we need to chat once a month? I thought what we were doing was just fine. And so you got to have a response to that. And you know, you're going to say, look, we value your time. We want to be courteous. There may be some action steps that roll over from one call to the next that need to be implemented, which will be identified in an executive summary. And if we find at any point in time that the calls are not what they need to be, then we can pare them down for a bit. But nobody ever pares them down because they get their folders, they're going to take notes, they're going to hear things on MSNBC, they're going to read something in Money Magazine or the Wall Street Journal, they're going to take notes, and they're going to discuss that with you when those calls come up. So why once per month? Well, that the rationale I gave you was that clients had sold the business. So organized communication, it'll be agenda-based, meaningful conversation, and you will discuss important issues with that client. Okay, so that's kind of a setting up the rationale for the service model. So you guys with me so far?
Yeah, both of us. Corinne.
I got just a little more left to cover, and then we'll get back into some overall questions.
Okay.
More of rationale. Busy people schedule everything. So what will happen is this will eliminate phone tag. How much time is wasted just on phone tag? You got something really, really important you want to discuss with them. They're not available. Okay? Then they call back. You're not available. Don't worry about not having enough to talk about, because you're going to be providing, you're going to be pre-formulating agendas. So you'll be prepared. So what you're going to do is you're going to, as Rob kind of connotates, you're going to be putting this wall of confidence around your best clients. Okay? And you're going to be responding to positive action with another positive action. Okay? So the final strategy in this is the stair step to the stars. And it's this process of, you know, you've got different minimum expectations for assets and for revenue. And the stair step to the stars means that every so often, could be quarterly, you know, you've got to reassign clients that you've outgrown. The client is still going to receive the Supernova service when you make the handoff. So you need to identify someone, not necessarily today, but when you start getting really busy, that you're going to train in some of these Supernova concepts that can, you know, take on the clients that you refer to them. And, you know, you're going to end up splitting the business. Do you all work account splits with between financial advisors in your office? Is that allowed to happen?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Because you don't want the client to receive a lesser service than you've been providing. And you're only going to reassign an account to someone that's going to play by your rules. Okay? And right now, where you stand, it's hard to imagine that you'll be moving toward that. But that's where you'll be moving toward. So the key is to have them trained so that there's no guilt associated with whether or not that client is going to get the service that they deserve. Okay. So that covers everything that we want to cover in the first week. I want to entertain some of your questions. I sent you an email that has a business plan template attached to it. Okay? And I would say, like, if you're in business school, you know, there might be a capstone project at the end of, you know, a course or, you know, your program. I would like to encourage that you all have what's called this team-based business plan at the end of our 12 weeks of training. This is actually the first time we've done this, but you know, there's so many concepts that get drawn out of the program. I wanted you to have a logical sequence because I understand, you know, your interest in wanting to really build the team. So what I've done is we've created a business plan and strategy document for you. And it's got a table of contents. So what I'd like you to do, you know, for the next session is just to peruse the table of contents and start thinking about what a vision statement might be for your team. Let's also, and we'll cover this a step at a time, so by the end of the 12-week program, you're going to have a full team-based business plan. Okay. Yeah, somebody was ringing on my other line, so if we get, don't worry about it. Let me entertain some of your questions.
Who actually gets the folders? Is that for us, for the client? Do they keep it? Do we keep it?
Okay, so on the folders, you're going to have a folder for yourself, and you're going to have a folder for the client. And then when we start getting into the client acquisition phase, each of the prospects are going to have a folder. Because we're going to talk about the concept of the 90-day free look, where you're going to treat them as if they were a client, and between when you start with them and the 90 days, you're going to try to convert them to a client. Okay? So that's what I'm going to, you know, encourage you to think about.
On the website, you said the folders, whole bunch, that kind of thing was there. I don't find that on the website.
Okay. So I'll come back and I'll make a note and get some information to you on where they need to be ordered. And you're still a little early for the folders, but we'll get the contact. I don't have it committed to memory. Contact for ordering the folders. So we'll get that to you. Okay.
How about all the books and the questionnaire that were listed? Is that should that have been prerequisite? Because I haven't read them. So that I need to start mowing through now?
Yeah, I think it's good reinforcement. If you're going to be on an airplane and you're going to fly for 3 or 4 hours, you pick up the book, you'll be done by the time you land.
Okay.
So it would be a good book to read. You know, my book will come out, will be released in January. And it is all about teams and team effectiveness strategies, collaboration. In fact, it's called the Supernova Advisor Teams, the Pathway to Excellence. And so you'll have that. You know, that won't be available until around January. So by me sending you this business plan, I'm getting into some of the team dynamics a little early.
Well, that was a major component of why we're doing this. So we're ready for that.
Yeah, so we're going to be weaving in some of the team dynamics into all of this, but the real critical thing in terms of teams is getting teams aligned with their thinking, with their strategies, with their thought process, with their processes. So what this is doing is it's getting everybody aligned. So I hope that the first session resonated with you. Did you get all your questions answered?
I think so.
I'm also a yes.
Other than maybe spelling out what the homework is, I think it's going to be obvious in the guide, but I just want to make sure.
Okay. Okay, so the homework assignment. You know, there was some pre-work. But if you follow this thing of setting your minimum, your max, and pretty much most of everything that I chatted with you about, you know, researching your client list, informing your team about the changes, what to expect. We've got everybody there. You know, begin to start thinking about this advisor that could potentially, down the road, absorb segmented clients. Practice the scripts on retention and client segmentation, because that's going to come up down the road. And if there are clients that you really do feel that you have to move out, then look at your screens and then do that. And also, you know, take a look at the website. It's got articles. It's got videos. You know, you've got a passcode for that access.
So we're not sending out any letters at this point. We're just focused on segmentation. We're
right.
We're not going to start talking to clients about it, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Right now, you guys should role play how to deliver the service model either to your spouses or to yourselves to kind of get familiar with it. Okay? So each little module builds on itself, and so it becomes more and more intense. And so I got to make sure you understand these basics in this first week, because we're going to go into the second week, which is going to build on everything we learned in the first week. So I don't want you to get overwhelmed.
I do have a question. I wanted to see what your view is of keeping family members in your book. Would you treat them differently, you know, in terms of, you know, if they don't meet the minimum requirements in terms of assets and revenue?
Well, here's my view on family members. You got to keep them. If you want to be invited to Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas and so on and so forth. So, you know, so family members are okay. And, but they're also going to be, well, depending upon their financial wherewithal, they're going to fall into getting the 12-4-2 service, so they're going to be butlers. So train them up so that they're not like calling every other day wanting to know how Apple stock is doing. But, yeah, you can certainly keep family members.
Okay. Thanks.
Good question, though. All right. Now, I'm available by email. You have my email address. So if some questions come up between now and our next call, I think, Russ, you're not going to – we need to alter the next call because you're not going to be around?
It's the – I don't think it's next week. I think it's the week after. It's November the 2nd is the issue, I think.
Okay. Well, we can – you guys talk, figure out what you want to do, and I'll be flexible in trying to arrange another date. Okay.
So you just wanted to throw a couple of options out to you and see.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I don't necessarily feel like you should do a double session in 1 week, though. It's going to be too much material. So,
okay. So are you thinking, is it permissible to just I have to admit, I'm gone 3.5 days that week. So is it one where we skip that week altogether?
Yeah.
Or do the other members just do it and I lose out on that week?
Yeah. Yeah, you could skip a week and it just gets tacked on and, you know, we proceed the following week.
Okay,
so
we'll talk about what you want to do.
Yeah, you guys talk it over and figure out what you feel comfortable with. Okay, so this is our first session, and look, you guys asked some really, really good questions. You know, come back to me with any other questions that you may have, and we'll chat with you next Thursday.
Thank you.
Or before.
Okay, thank you.
All righty, you're welcome. Bye-bye.